We've been inspired with the 23rd Psalms, so we would like to continue in that chapter tonight. In my Bible, it has titles at the beginning or at the top of chapters, and we have another Bible at home that is sort of a favorite of mine, more so than the one that I use all of the time. And I inquired of Lauren Vance what the title was for the 23rd Psalms in his. And so I'm going to give you the three titles from three different Bibles. And we know that this is a Psalm of David. And one of the titles said, David's Praise for and Confidence in God. Would that whet your appetite? If you didn't know what the 23rd Psalms was, would it whet your appetite to see a title like that? I believe the Lord wants us to be inspired in the Word of God to read it. And so one other title was A Psalm of the Divine Shepherd. That's another title. Would that sort of awaken you with desire to know what is written about the Divine Shepherd? And then the third title was David's Confidence in God's Grace. I would say that really would touch me. How important is it that we know the grace of God? We need the grace of God. We're in a world where sin is abounding. And if I know something about the grace of God, I will be encouraged. Because the scripture says, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. So the 23rd Psalms is probably the most read of all Psalms, most familiar of people when they would speak of Psalms itself. So it should be an inspiration to you and me for our praise and our worship of the Lord, of who He is and what He is and what He can do for us, because that's what David is really saying. He was inspired by his shepherd who was able to be that divine influence and help in his life. So I want to be inspired by my Heavenly Father, and I want to take into consideration all of my past blessings. I want to look back and remember. I don't want to forget who God is and what He is and how He is helped me in my life. Thank the Lord. So this evening I would hope that the little thoughts that are given here will be an inspiration to have confidence in the Chief Shepherd. So just as a reminder, since we've been looking at the 23rd Psalms now for the third time, we're just going to refer to verse 1. That the Lord is, he wrote it this way, David wrote it this way in a personal way. He is my shepherd. And it can be a personal thing to you too. And then it said, I personally shall not want anything. Now I put that word in there, anything. I shall not want. One of the other references on that verse states it like this, I shall not lack anything. So that should give us inspiration. David wrote this psalm before he came to the throne, before he was a king. And so his confidence was inspired in the midst of a lot of opposition, things that came against him. It was in the midst of that opposition that he wrote this psalm, before he came to the to the throne. I would say in studying David's life that he went through many dark and discouraging events in his life. But he was able to look to the one that was able to supply, to the one that he would have no lack in the midst of the dark and discouraging time. There was another scripture that was impressed upon my mind. It was an inspiring, I would say, connecting scripture. And it's Philippians 4:19. And it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory." Thank the Lord. By Christ Jesus. So David, in a later psalm, he also wrote this scripture, Psalms 37:25. "I have been young and am now old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his children begging bread." So David also had an understanding that if we put our trust in this shepherd, that we'll have no lack. We'll not be having to beg bread. Our Father will supply. So his confidence was in the chief shepherd to also lead him. And just in referring to some of the other verses of the 23rd Psalms, it said he would be led by still waters. He would be led in green pastures and in right paths, and he would restore his soul. Thank the Lord. Have you ever needed your soul restored? I have needed my soul restored numerous times in my life since I gave my heart and life to the Lord. There have come times that I have been in a dry place. Have you ever been in a dry place? And you needed restoration. Our shepherd will do that. He will restore our souls. Thank the Lord. And then the scripture, the other verse coming down to the one that we want to speak on tonight. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for thou art with me." Oh, if our confidence in the Lord tonight can be so strengthened that wherever he leads us and he is with us, we need not be afraid. And then he spoke of, which in another message we elaborated on, the rod and the staff. They comfort me. So we're coming down now to verse 5, and we spoke actually last Sunday on verse 5 as a central thought. We spoke about "thou preparest a table," and that's as much as we spoke on last Sunday. We talked about the Lord's table, and we brought out the Matthew 5:16, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We spoke about the world being drunk on every imaginable lust that feeds the flesh, whether it be food or drink or entertainments. Our world is drunk today, and they are not thirsting and hungering after the things that will be eternal. And it's important that you and I have an appetite for the Lord's table. And the Lord's table was one that said, "I am the bread of life." And the Lord's table said that if you will eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it seemed like an offensive statement. There were people offended when Jesus spoke those words for them to come after him, to eat his flesh and drink his blood. It said that many went back and never followed him any longer. So the Lord's table is where you and I will find eternal life, when we take of his life and we have that And if you will notice also in that verse, it's a table that is prepared. It's not a haphazard table of the Lord. It's not just by chance. It was ordered of the Lord from the foundation of the world. The table of the Lord was really prepared for mankind, for all of mankind. And many have turned their back on the table of the Lord and have taken their own table or fed their own appetite with the things of the world. But when you look at this verse again, you will see that David's words here said, "Thou preparest a table for me." This is a personal table. This is a unique table. It is prepared only for David in this particular table. Now you have a table and I have a table, but we want to talk tonight about this table that was prepared for David and how it ministered to him in his life. David was a man that chosen of God. This table not only has food that is prepared for his life, but it also has a cup to drink. And David wrote this in another psalm, Psalm 75 and 8. He said, "In the hand of the Lord there is a cup." And then you skip down a little bit in that verse and it says, "And it is full of mixture." You have a cup in your life. You have a table in your life. And it is full of mixture. Many things are going to come to you and me in our life. Good things, bad things, hurtful things, emotional things, things that will create sorrow and heartache. There will be things that will happen that we won't even understand why. We won't understand maybe until later. Sometimes we can get past a situation in our life and look back, and maybe we can have a little discernment then as to what the Lord was doing in our life, what he was trying to teach us, how he was trying to lead us. So God has a table for you and for me tonight. It is prepared for us personally, but we want to look at David's table. And his table was prepared in the very presence of who? His enemies. So we want to look at the enemies that David had. This word enemy, I'm going to give you the dictionary meaning of it. Thought we might be interested to know. We might think, oh, I know what an enemy is. But I like to have actual words, don't you? An enemy is one who harbors hatred or malice intent. That's a real enemy. Or an enemy magnifies ill will. Or one who is hostile or unfriendly. An enemy is one who is an adversary against another. And we would know that term, wouldn't we? Our adversary, the devil. We know that the devil himself is an adversary to the people of God. Well, David was introduced in his life as a very young boy. We all know the story. He was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons, 8 boys that was in that family. And the account of that time was that Saul had disobeyed God and found disfavor, and God withdrew his blessing from Saul as king of Israel. And he told the prophet, "I want you to go down to Jesse's house and I want you to anoint one of his sons." Now, he did not tell the prophet the name or anything about him. He was looking for the witness of the Spirit to identify the choice that God had. So he goes down. We know the account, how that he told, he wanted each one of these sons to walk before him. And he was looking for that witness. And this one walked by, a fine looking young man. The prophet may have even said, this surely is the one. He has a stature. He has the looks. He carries himself with confidence. He may have looked at those things, but the Spirit of the Lord said no. So he went through all of the seven boys. And he said to Jesse, is this all of your children? And he said, no, we have one left. He's out in the field. And he said, well, we're not going to eat until you bring him in. And so David was brought in. The scripture says he was of a beautiful countenance, but he was a young lad. And as soon as he came in, the Spirit of the Lord witnessed to the prophet, this is the one. Now David was so young, he probably did not realize just to what extent this would mean in his life, but it was the beginning of the rest of his life. And in his life from that day on, he learned what it was to be hated. And he learned what it felt like to have malicious ill will. And he found out what it was like to have someone feel unfriendly and hostile to him. Actually, he learned to run for his life. So it wasn't necessarily a desirable life in the beginning, but it came to a point God manifested himself unto David in many ways. So David's table that was prepared, it was prepared in the very presence of his enemies. In my thoughts, and there could be more, it seems as though there are three adversaries, and we'd like to speak about the three adversaries that are most common to man. And I would say first and foremost would be the arch deceiver, Satan himself. That is your greatest enemy. He is the one that has a purpose. He is an opposer of all that is good, all that is right, all that is holy. He is an opposer of God. He is an opposer of righteousness and holiness. And he is his purpose. He has a purpose. The scripture tells us that he was a murderer from the beginning, that he was a liar and the father of lies, and that his plan was to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I might add that that was not just his purpose in the beginning, but it is his purpose to a greater degree in our age. The scripture tells us that Satan, in the last days, that he would recognize his time was short, that he would be about his business in a greater form, in a greater fashion. And today he has an impact and an influence over the majority of this world. For the scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen. The scripture tells us that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But it says also on the opposite side of the coin that narrow is the way, and straight is that path that leads unto life. And it says that just a few will find it. So today we know that Satan is about his business, and he has many under his control, but he is out for you. And he is your arch enemy. And he is the one that has been compared by the scriptures as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. We may not hear him as really a roaring lion, but there are times when situations, events happen in our life, and we may refer to that scripture and said, well, the devil is really roaring. Have you ever felt that way? We don't hear it as a roar, but in his purpose, in his desires to do something to hinder you as a child of God, we would call his efforts like a roaring lion, because he is seeking to devour the people of God. When Jesus was born, did he not try to devour him from his birth? He knew that there was one that was coming that would strike him down, and he would lose his power and his authority and in the hearts of men through Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. So he was seeking to see who he could devour. He is known also as the tempter. He is known also as the one that can blind the eyes and the minds. His purpose is to blind our mind. The scripture also identifies Satan as one that wants to appear as an angel of light. He is the god of this world. If you be lifted up in pride, it's because of the Satan. If you are crushed down to an inch of your life, it is because of Satan. He wants to do both. If he can trap you by pride and being lifted up, he'll do it. But if he can discourage you to the point that you would give up and crush you, he'll do it. The scripture says that you and I should not be ignorant of his devices. So that's just one of the enemies. And we would say it is the number one enemy. Our second enemy, who would be the second enemy? It is me, myself, and I. I am my worst enemy because I can be influenced by the foremost enemy. Within every man, I believe Brother Dan brought some of this out this morning, every man, woman, and child, we have a soul. God has given each one of us a soul. Psalms 119 and 109, David wrote this too. He said, "My soul is continually in my hand." So at the end of every man's life is God. And at the end of every man's life is the judgment. And at the end of every man's life, we will give an account for the deeds that have been done in our flesh or in our body. So I become an enemy to myself when I refuse the grace of God. Or if I take my own way, or if I yield to the temptations of the enemy, or if I allow my flesh to be ruled by my spirit, or I can allow the events of life to affect me, the events come in my life. Brother Dan even spoke of it this morning. I can be hurt. I can have a seed of bitterness. It can develop into a root. Many will be defiled, the scripture says. I can hold a grudge. I can be unforgiving. And I will be my enemy. I become my enemy. I can make choices, and Satan will take advantage of those choices. And I can lose my own soul because my soul is in my hands. I'm responsible for my soul. Therefore, again, I say I can become my own enemy. The word of the Lord says that life and death is set before each one of us, and it exhorts us choose life. So my choices will affect whether I am an enemy to my soul or whether I'm a savior to my soul. No, I cannot save my own soul, but I can through my choices. So that is the second enemy, is myself. And the third enemy, the third, I call it a category, it is considered tools of Satan. The tools that Satan uses to be an enemy to you and me can be through the result of his work in the hearts of other people. To be affected by those who have rejected the cross, who have rejected righteousness, who then are haters of those who follow Christ. And it is the work of the in the hearts of those to offend or even be offensive to the children of God. So the Lord allowed David to experience all three of these types of enemies. And David, when he was called to serve Saul, he did Saul good. He served him. But Saul turned on him. He was his enemy. And he received evil for his good. And then David became his own enemy when he failed to go to the battle, when he yielded to the temptation, when he slew a man to cover his own sin, and was exposed then by the prophet. But oh, I love that part. When he said, "I am the man," when he confessed, when he repented. Oh, it's a wonderful account of David and such an example to you and me that we be the same. And David experienced a friend then. He experienced one that then became his enemy. So he's been offended. He's been hurt. And he wrote about it in one of the Psalms. He said, it was not that enemy out there, I put that term in there, that reproached me. I could have borne it. You know, you and I can expect the world to not really like us or love us. If they are against the cause of Christ and against the Christians that are truly living a holy life, we can expect opposition from that kind of people. But it is such a hurtful thing when it is someone that we have been close to, been a friend. He even spoke of it. I walked to the house of the Lord with. I looked up to this person. I was an acquaintance with them. And this became a great offense. But the scripture says that thou preparest a table before me. Thou prepared David's table. These are just a few instances where David experienced hurtful things, disappointment, opposition, running for his life. There were many things that David went through, but he came through it. And was still the king and was still favored of God, but he took part of that table. He drank of his cup. And in one place he said in Psalms, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of what? Because of my enemy." My enemies are looking on. My enemies are watching. How are you reacting to these things in your life? Are you going to have grace to rise above this? Are you going to be able to demonstrate the power of God in your life when there is opposition that comes to you? when there is one that you've been acquainted with, that you've had favor with, that you've had confidence in, and maybe they show you disfavor, are you going to manifest the grace of God in that? The Lord wants to lead you and me in a plain path, in a path that we can see where it's leading us, how it's leading us. We can see that He is leading us in righteousness. Thank the Lord. So tonight you and I have a table, and you and I will face the devil every day. We will not be free from the temptations of the enemy, from the opposing powers of darkness, until we cross over. He has His sight, and His purpose is set on you and me. So we're going to have that every day. And every day you will contend with your own flesh. We can be sanctified holy, and we're still alive and in the flesh. But it is the power of God that keeps us in a sanctified life. Thank the Lord. It is that time when you feel like, I can't take anymore, that the grace of God comes in, that the power of God floods you. Today I went through a situation that I thought I couldn't bear. I had Lauren to come in. My mind was so full, and my heart was so heavy, and I had him come in and anoint me. You know, anointing is such a wonderful blessing to the people of God and those that have faith. It's not all. It is for our bodies. But I want to tell you, it is for our spirits as well. It is for our mind when it is troubled. It is for our heart when it is heavy. And he anointed me and prayed for me there in our bedroom. A calmness just came over me. You know, we have to learn how to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, to know that He careth for us and He is able. I'm in the flesh. You are in the flesh. We're going to contend with the concerns of the flesh, and we don't want it to be our own enemy. We can accept the grace of God and rise above these things. The scripture gives us such promises of greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That is to inspire our faith when we pass through these things. And so you and I are going to taste also of offenses. The scripture said, and Jesus was the one that said it, He said, it is impossible but that offenses are going to come. And you and I will experience those kind of things. It is not, someone said this one time, it is not what happens to us in life, it's how we handle it. It's our response to it. It doesn't matter how hard it is, that those things that come to us in our life, you and I will taste of offenses in our life. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. The scripture really doesn't allow us to know what that thorn is. I would say there's a big chance that you and I will each one have a thorn in our flesh of some kind. May not be physical. It may be through the trials and tests of life. It may be through the grief and the sorrows of life. We can't really identify what a thorn would be. But Paul, what was his response when he went before the Lord and three times and said, please take this away from me? And God said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. We have weaknesses, but the Lord wants to prove His great power and strength to keep us in our weak times, in our weak areas, our humanity. So he said, Jesus said, in closing now, he said, come unto me, I will give you rest. Thank the Lord. So David, in his psalm, where he had such confidence in the chief shepherd to supply all of his needs, the greatest need that you and I will have in life is that which tends to our soul. All of this other is going to burn up. Sometimes Brother Doug says in his prayer, thanking the Lord for houses and for cars and for food and for family, and he begins to name out all of those things. But I want to tell you, those things are going to depart. When the disciples went and were sent out and they came back and they said to Jesus, they said, they rejoiced. Why? Because they said that the devils were even subject unto them. And what did Jesus say? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It wasn't heaven where God was. It was that lofty place where he had authority over men. They couldn't break loose. They were bound by these things that we've talked about. They couldn't overcome them. And yet Satan was dethroned in the hearts of men. And then what was the next thing that Jesus said? He said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you rejoicing tonight that your name is written in heaven? Do you have that confidence? Do you have that assurance? I want to tell you, it's worth far more than clothes on your back, food on your table, a roof over your head, to have that knowledge that I'm ready to go. So I thank the Lord tonight for these little thoughts about David and for the psalm that he wrote to increase our confidence that our God is able to keep us from falling. And he said he would. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall, it says. Pray for me.